On this week's show, devastation for Ramsgate as they come up short in the playoffs. We hear from boss Ben Smith.
It wasn't for a want of trying, but just the quality has absolutely deserted us today. Yeah, it was shambolic at times.
Delight for Staplehurst Monarchs as they book their spot in the biggest game in their history. Boss Paul Atkins tells us all about it.
Those boys in there, the reason we are where we are is that we gel. They're good lads. So yeah, buzzing for them. Buzzing for them more than anyone, really. So yeah, good.
And a disappointed Matt Hume reflects on Rochester United's defeat in that semi-final.
It is what it is. I'm really disappointed. I really wanted to go up this year and, you know, it's harsh when it comes down to one game.
And safety secured and now on his holidays, we hear from Ebbsfleet United boss Danny Searle.
So there will definitely be changes. And I think from our perspective, we need to develop a squad that's smaller and one that actually, regardless of who's available, we know what we're going to get from every person in the building.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Kent Only podcast, sponsored by Sandwich Town Youth FC. Another crazy week in our corner of the country, as we've seen title glory and playoff heartbreak and a small bit of joy, too. We've got four interviews for you to enjoy, including two that are literally hot off the press. Is that what you say on audio interviews? Anyway, I've done them this evening, so they're brand spanking new. I'm John Phillips. John became a cat dad of three in the week. Not online now, of course, is a man who I'm pretty sure is now done for the 2023-24 season. Matt Jarrod, how are you?
Not bad. I'm officially, I think, hanging up the boots for this season.
Hang up your microphone and your spreadsheet.
Yeah, my spreadsheet. I did finish the spreadsheet today, actually. Finished it all off for the season. So, yeah, it's been a long season. I think I've done about 46 games. So, disappointment, the game what I saw last night, which we'll get before. But it's been an enjoyable season. Never seems to surprise me, Kent football, really, to be honest.
No, actually, I think we'll do a more general overview of the season in the weeks to come. But it has been, it's been quite something, hasn't it? I mean, you know, there's been some real highs and some real downs across the board. And I guess, you know, you've witnessed some amazing moments. And as we're going to hear later on, you've witnessed some pretty low ones too.
Again, I'd love to know how many teams have changed managers. We probably asked this same question last year, didn't we? A lot of teams have changed managers this season again, haven't they?
And a lot more going to do so over the summer.
Yeah, probably. So there doesn't seem to be much continuity in the context of managers, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but a lot of teams seem to like to change their managers.
Absolutely. Yeah, but apart from the football, everything all right in the Gerrard world?
I've got a bit injured from a bit of run, but that's apart from it. Now, nothing too exciting, mate. Again, I've got quite a lot on. It's the mother-in-law's 70th birthday this weekend, so we've got plenty of events to do. So you're looking forward to that. So May, June and July and August are very busy months. So looking forward to them, I have to say.
Yeah, so it's that time of year, isn't it, when, you know, you've either got lots on or nothing on. I've got not a lot on, apart from a couple of birthdays this month, not big ones. And then, you know, just kind of a bit of a chill really over the summer. And, you know, I'm as much as I've obviously loved doing the podcast every week, it'll be nice, although I'll miss you, Matt, it'll be nice to have a couple of Wednesdays where I'm not finding a side street, as I have done tonight, with the car parked up, to talk to you.
No, again, I think maybe the listeners maybe also need a bit of a break as well, and they can recharge their batteries. We'll probably do one more next week, depending how it goes next week, and then, yeah, we're done, but we'll make these next two as good as ever.
Absolutely. Well, this is our 295th episode, and I found a song by Punjabi singer-rapper Sidhu Moosewala, which was released in 2021. Then, bleakly, the next line on the popular online encyclopedia I often use for these nuggets, yes, I don't just know them off the top of my head, it pointed out that the title of his song also matches the day of his death, as on May the 29th, 2022, Sidhu was shot in India. Another cheerful start to the show, eh? I also found Venue 295, which is a bar in Neasden, whose SEO game is pretty darn strong, clearly. And the more cheerful news, the longest recorded jump on a unicycle is 2.95 metres by David Weichenberger in Vienna in September 2006. Now, I'm not one of, you know, blow my own trumpet, but I reckon I could jump off a unicycle with absolutely zero effort. I mean, jump, fall, whatever, you know, I don't think that one's for me.
If we can't run a bike, mate, I don't think a unicycle is going to be right up my street, is it, really? So
No, it's not. I can't even begin to imagine how difficult that would be.
Yeah, exactly,
but 2.95 meters on a unicycle. Well done, Dave. Let's get on with the show then, and we will start with an incredible night on Tuesday. We're out five Kent sides at home in the playoff semi-finals in the Isthmian and the Scheffel leagues. Four were beaten as the teams finishing second and third bowed out in both the Isthmian South East and the Scheffel Premier Division. Ramsgate have missed out on the Isthmian title on Saturday, losing to Three Bridges at home, while Cray Valley were winning 2-0 at Horndean to secure the title. Bridges won again on Tuesday. They came from behind to beat Sittingbourne and knock the third place Brickies out of contention. And not long after Bridges went ahead, so too did Chichester at Southwood to beat the Rams 1-0 and end Kent involvement in the division for this season. It was the second year in a row that the Rams had finished second and lost in the playoff semi-final. And manager Ben Smith was understandably dejected when he spoke to Matt.
I think the chickens come home to roost. You know, we had more than enough chances to win that game of football. Complete control. But we haven't, you know, we missed out in the league. I wouldn't say we bottled the league. We bottled that tonight massively. Players bottled it. Yeah. You can't lose a game. You dominate like that. You can't lose that.
You had plenty of chances. That, again, they put their bodies on the line. Again, some of the chances, maybe the player should have put the foot through it a bit more, try to walk it in. Would you say some of that?
Yeah, I'd say that, you know, we've got players in there that, on their reputations, are too good for this level. But there's been, you know, sometimes proof's in the pudding. And I saw something today, actually, on Twitter. Someone put, unless you're dominating your league, that's your level. You know, unless you're dominating and, you know, really going over and above and standing out as a star player, you know, unless you're really dominating on the pitch. And our lads today just didn't have enough quality. And that's the level.
Did you, going into this game, were you confident? I know you lost at the weekend as well. Did that come any part of it?
No, I'd say the weekend was a weird day, weird game. You know, I was confident coming in tonight. And, you know, we set up to be as attacking as possible. And, you know, it wasn't for a want of trying, but just the quality has absolutely deserted us today. Yeah, it was shambolic at times, the quality. And, you know, even at the end there, getting the ball in a wide area, we end up kicking it straight to the key. It's just embarrassing. That's embarrassing.
Lack of composure at times? You've got players who've scored, a lot of players who've scored double figures this season.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, it was a lack of composure. You know, I can't pick anyone out. We had, how many times did we have something ricochet out to us and block the rebound, block the, you know, and credit to them for that. But you can't be giving up the chances we've just had tonight.
What's the dressing room like in there?
Well, I've just left it, so I don't know. You know, I've made my feelings clear. You know, I have at times this season, you know, I've come out and publicly backed them, and you know.
Do you feel let down by the players then?
I feel let down in the performance tonight, absolutely. You know, but yeah, the amount of times I've put myself out there and said it's my fault. And ultimately it is my fault. I'm the manager, you know, that the buck stops with me. That's simple as that. I come in to get promoted, we haven't got promoted. That's a fact of life now. You know, I just, yeah, it's a huge missed opportunity.
You look back on the season, I know it's very quickly after the final whistle. Would you class it as a successful season? Second round of the FA Cup, second in the league?
You can't. We're coming to get promoted. That's it. End of.
Do you feel, you know, previous managers have lost their job for not getting promoted? I know you've got another year on your contract. Do you think you'll be given another chance?
Who knows? We'll see. That's football, isn't it? You know, I said when I took the job, I was big enough to take the job. I understand what happens. You know, I think we have done some good things here. Let's, you know, let's have it right. Again, you know, I see all the trolls out there when we didn't go up in terms of the league. You know, the money.
How much was a factor of that? Not, you know, you were clear at the top. Craig caught you up, and you had that game, big game here. Couldn't get that over the line as well.
I don't know. You know, why doesn't the second team go up? every year, you know, like in the playoffs.
Well, it's going to be fifth and fourth again, fifth in the final.
Why don't they win? I mean, it's a disgrace. I cannot believe what I've just seen. You know, and again, I say people, you know, bang on about the budgets and all that sort of stuff. People don't really have a clue. You know, we've had a good budget this year. For the budget we've had, that isn't good enough. End of. I've just said to the players, some of the players in there, some of you, like the money you're on, that's not good enough. You know, the reported figures of 900 quid a week and all that sort of stuff is absolute nonsense. But I've never shied away from it's a good budget, and it has to, you know, it has to bring better performances, better standard of quality. I'm not going to say performances because, you know, we were dominant in the game, but the lack of quality, you know, players that have played at a good level, the lack of quality is just, it's appalling. And I'd be ashamed of myself if that's me.
Again, who lifts you now, you know? You've had a good season, you can see you're passionate about it. How do you lift yourself now?
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm strong mentally, I'm resilient. You know, I've had setbacks, you know, missed out on Wembley before, this is up there, isn't it? Let's be honest. But
bitterly disappointed, I can sense that.
Yeah, it's, you know, you work all, you know, work the season for that. And it's the manner, you know, we got played off the park, or it's the manner of the way we've lost just doesn't sit right with me. As I say, you know, we've got players in there that have scored goals at National South, and you know, you can name it. That's not good enough. That's just nowhere near good enough. Nowhere near, you know, as a you know, side tactically. You know, we've got the ball in those areas time and time again tonight, and we've just, you know, and, you know, it's one of those, you know, Joe Taylor's the one that scores the goals. Ball didn't fall to him tonight. You know, there's a couple in there that I thought were great, you know, and but they can't do it on their own, you know, and too many players haven't stepped up, and you think to yourself, you talk a good game, like, That's the time. That's the time. These are the games that people remember. You want to write yourself in the history books. And I'm lost for words, to be honest. Really lost for words. And yeah, I mean, there's going to be changes, that's for sure. Whether that's me that makes those changes or not, we'll see. But you know, some of those players, you know, I don't care where you've played before. Some of those players, that's your level. What I've seen tonight, that's your quality. Not what you've done before. I'm devastated for the people of Ramsgate. I'll be honest, it's not. I say, I'll have to get over it. You know, and try and move forward. But the people of Ramsgate, this club deserves success. You know, again, we go back to the budget stuff. People talk about that, but look how the club's run. That's why it can have a good budget, because it's run that way. It hasn't got one man pumping money in. It hasn't got one big sponsor pumping money in. It's run properly. You know, that doesn't happen overnight. That happens from a lot of people, the volunteers, etc. My devastation is thinking of those people. You know, and they just don't deserve this. And some of the players in crunch moments haven't given them what they deserve. And you know, and that is unforgivable.
Well, Matt, I've got to say that is quite the interview. He's pulled very few punches and was clearly livid at the performance of his side. How did they play, in your opinion, on the night?
I thought they were. The first 20 minutes, they had a couple of chances, to be fair. Chichester missed a sort of sit of the striker. Good save by Hadler, tipping it over the bar, and they looked the dangerous side. Then Ramsgate came in it. They got a goal before half-time, which, looking back on the video somebody sent me, they were very unlucky not to be taken. Second half, they absolutely battered them. Particularly a spell, probably 15, 20 minutes after half time, hit the crossbar, players getting in the way of their own shots that were going in, keeper made some good saves. And to be fair to Chichester, they were putting their bodies on the line. But again, Ramsgate were trying to maybe walk it in or put your foot through it when you're 8 yards out rather than trying to stroke it in the back of the net. Chichester's tactic was basically defend, basically 10 men behind the ball. We had nobody up top. Then they had a counter-attack, and you've seen it all before. Sucker punch, first shot block, second block shot. He absolutely drilled it into the corner of the net. So, yeah. Maybe Ben, I don't know if Ben thought about when he woke up this morning, what he said in that interview there. I don't know how all the players will see from that, because he's basically ripped them apart. Maybe what it was, or maybe it's he's bitterly disappointed, but they just didn't have enough quality, I think, in the final third. Again, didn't work with Joe Taylor and Joe Turner up front as well. So, yeah, it's one of those things. When you get to 70 minutes, but it's still 0-0, you just had that feeling something would go, and if they get a chance, and they took the chance, and fair play to them. But from a Ramsgate point of view, as he said, their main aim this season was to get promoted, not to get to the second round of the cup, even though they'll remember that. They will be absolutely distraught that they haven't gone up.
You've obviously seen the Rams a few times this season. Do you think they were poor last night compared to how they've played at other points during the season? And, you know, is some of that criticism from Ben Smith justified there?
Well, only on another day, they could have probably scored four in the space of 20 minutes after half-time. So, again, Joe Taylor, I think I've seen him a few times this season. I still haven't seen him score. So
he's
scored 51 games, so 51 goals. So I think it's just one of those days. I don't know how hard it hit them to get to 89 points and not win the league. Fair play to Craig for what they've done. But it's a bitter blow for Ramsgate. Will Ben Smith be manager next season? After you listen to that interview, John, do you think he will be? To me, he's putting himself under pressure. For me personally, I think he probably deserves another at least a go next season. If they keep that majority of the squad, there may not be a side as good as Craig this season, and they should win the league. But the club will be bitterly disappointed in the last three seasons. They haven't had to go over that mark to get promoted, which is what they all desperately deserve at that club for all the work they're doing off it.
Yeah, I think it's a tough one, and like you know, I think obviously. You know, if you're a Ramsgate player and you've heard what Ben said there, and I know it's been put elsewhere, what he said, you know, I think that'll be a hard one to take for the players who may feel that they gave their all in the game and everything like that. And you know, it is difficult. Like you say, they did so well. They got to 89 points and didn't win the league. And any other league at that level in the country, they would have won it. And that is tough to take. But ultimately, they beat Chichester a couple of weeks ago. And there's been a lot of debate on our Facebook group, Kent Onney Football Chat, if you want to get involved, about the playoffs and people saying they should be scrapped and that the top two teams should just go up. I mean, I couldn't disagree more with that. I think the playoffs have brought so much into the football. Everyone knew at the start of the season that you had to be in the top one to get promoted. And I'd much rather have teams further down having that opportunity. And, you know, on the face of it, yes, Ramsgate were 20 points ahead of Chichester. So therefore, beating them twice in the league, you can reasonably expect that they should have won that game last night. And from what you said there, they've created plenty of chances and they've gone on from there. And I've obviously heard the rest of that interview, Matt, where you stopped talking and he carried on with the Kent Messenger. And there was a line in that Ben said where he said, people won't remember the FA Cup. They'll just remember that we bottled it in the playoffs. And I actually think that he's wrong on that one because I've seen lots of Ramsgate fans since last night saying, yeah, we're disappointed, but what a ride this season's been. Look at the fans we've had coming to the games. Got to the playoffs. We've had great fun. We've had a bloke score 50 goals this season, but we got to the FA Cup second round. We got to play Wimbledon on the telly. You know, and those are the moments. And, you know, Ramsgate, in the last 20 or 30 years, Ramsgate have had some great successes. But I can guarantee you that most Ramsgate fans can tell you more about when they got to the FA Cup first round and played Nuneaton than they can when they won the league that same season. So actually, I think in the cold light of day, yeah, I get that the promotion was the number one aim, but the supporters have had an absolute blast this season. And yeah, they'll dust themselves down and they'll be back in August. And Ramsgate will be favourites to win that league without a shadow of a doubt next season. There'll be some good teams in there. Obviously, they're going to have a game against their local rivals, which I'm sure the supporters will be looking forward to. And it will be a tough again. Of course it will. But Ramsgate have done everything right off the pitch. They've built that club up. You know, I remember when I first covered them, going down there, a couple of hundred people on a Saturday afternoon, freezing bloody cold. You know, at one time they tried to bring through a load of youngsters. That didn't work. Then they moved on and brought in the Wards and brought in some experienced players and had an upturn, but still didn't get promoted. They've been at this level for a while now, and I understand that's a frustration. But when you go and see how many people are turning up at the games, the atmosphere that they've built, the FA Cup run that they've had, the players that they've got, actually Ramsgate is in a better state than ever. And even despite everything, if you were to say to me right now, if I was a half-decent footballer, which I'm not, I hasten to add, and if I was 20 years younger and I had on the table a contract from Margate and a contract from Ramsgate to play next season, there's only one place I'm going, and that's Ramsgate.
Yeah, they'll enjoy their games against them next season. I'm sure there'll be big, big crowds. I just feel for Ben as well. He was very, very disappointed. The fans, the Kevin Barhams of this world, people, Steve Miller, you know, the hard work they put in. You'd have sacrificed losing to Woking to beat Chichester, wouldn't you? So, you go again. Interesting to see what the squad will be like next season, what they're going to do. I've seen Joe Taylor put a statement out saying what a great season it's been. Thanks to everybody. I cannot believe he'd be moving on, but you just don't know. But, gutted if you're a Ramsgate fan from there. But, and again, they won't want to go through the playoffs again. Got to make sure you get promoted, win it next season from there. And even if Ben's not in charge, I'm sure it'll be a job that a lot of people will be interested in.
Absolutely. And what of Sitting Bull, Matt? A massive disappointment for them to bow out in the playoffs as well with the home tie. But again, they've had a great season and they'll want to bounce back next season as well.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, he mate rested a lot of players at the weekend and they lost, didn't they? 4-1. So I don't know if that was a factor in it. But they've had a fantastic season, Sitting Bull. So always we've seen them doing well, but then fail off to the end of the season. But they've got a good manager and Ryan Maxwell, and they'll go again. I'm sure some of their players will be looked at by other clubs as well. So a bit of a challenge to keep that squad together after what they've done. But a fantastic season. And I think as a Sitting Bull fan, you're probably in dream world getting to that close to getting back promoted to the Isthmian Premier League. So, disappointed for them, but they can look back with a real pride with their season because we didn't expect them to be doing so well this year.
I suppose one thing you can say for both Ramsgate and Sitting Bull is, you know, the potential club that may have been in the market for some of their better players hasn't got promoted, because you would probably have thought that Ramsgate would have had the pick of all the players in that sort of area and Sitting Bull likewise. But they're actually still going to be slugging it out at step four next season. So I guess that does kind of help with the potential of keeping your squad together. But yeah, really disappointing. But we should actually mention, Matt, because we did just brush over it earlier on. But Cray Valley, the champions, Steve McKim, what an incredible season they had. Just one league defeat, unbeaten away from home, and they kept their cool when it mattered, and a brilliant, brilliant effort for them. And you've got to be chuffed for Steve McKim, who obviously did great guns at Tunbridge Angels and then lost his job there, and everyone was a bit baffled by that one. And then he went to Carshalton, and after a year was let go by them as well. So, you know, he's played Carshalton a couple of times in the cup and beaten them, and then he's gone and won the league. And if there were any doubters about Steve McKim, of which I'm sure there were none at all, he certainly shut them up, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think he's done a really good job. It'd be interesting to see how he does in the league below. I'm sure sides higher up the pyramid will be looking at him for what he's done, respected in the game, got some really good players there, one defeat all season, and that was when they lost in the 95th and the 96th minute. So the cup run, yeah, from a Cray Valley point of view, you're probably never going to have a better season than this. So make sure you suck it all in, really enjoy it. Be interesting to see how they get on next season. They're not used to losing football matches. So be interesting to see what the difference between the Isthmian South East and the Isthmian Premier is. But yeah, fantastic season for them. Did we expect them to be up there? Probably not, but they've shown to be the best side. And yeah, great achievement. Shows what a good manager Steve McKim is.
Yeah, I think it is an interesting one to see, actually. I think the Isthmian Premier is maybe one division where the quality has dropped a little bit. in terms of where things have gone. I think whereas the Eastman South East has probably got stronger, I actually think, you know, you look at the team, the Kent teams that are in there, the Folkestones and your Crays, I think they're worse off than they were a couple of years ago. So it will be interesting to see how they get on in the Eastman Premier next season, of course, when they will be facing the likes of Dover and Dartford. So that's going to be very, very exciting. Just to dot the I's and cross the T's on the Eastman East South East for the season. Saturday's final day results were Ashford beaten 3-2 at home by Broadbridge Heath. Relegated Beckenham lost out 2-0 at Burgess Hill. Sheppey 2-1 winners at East Grinstead. The other relegated side, Erith and Belvedere, ended with a 3-1 win over Merstham. It was Herne Bay 3, Chichester 3. Cray Valley won 2-0 at Horndon, as I said. Hythe drew 1-1 with Lancing. Ramsgate lost 2-1 to Three Bridges. Phoenix Sports finished with a 2-1 win at Sevenoaks. And Sittingbourne, as we all said, lost 4-1 at home to Littlehampton. Let's stick with the playoffs then. More home woe in the Scaffold Premier Division, where the final on Monday will be between Erith Town and Corinthian at Bayliss Avenue. Town, who've already won two cup finals in the last month, came from behind to beat Glebe 2-1, while Corinthian, who were beaten 4-0 at Salters Lane last month, twice came from behind to take the game to penalties, where they prevailed 4-1 thanks to four really well-taken penalties from the Hoops and two, well, not quite so hot from the home side. Faversham, at the start of the season, were clear favourites for the title. They were clear favourites for these playoffs as well, Matt, and they're going to be devastated by that defeat.
Massively devastated. Fair play to Corinthian and friend of the show, Michael Golding. The form that Faversham were in, you expected them to beat Corinthian a couple of weeks ago, didn't they, to in the league fixture to go on and win, but they couldn't do it. Some absolutely crazy penalties out there, unfortunately for them. But Faversham, it's probably more of a shock than anybody that they haven't got promoted this season. From the money that we were here with, the players they managed to attract, took Billy Bingham, arguably Bromley's best player last season, to that level, and they haven't got promoted. So where do they go from here? Tommy Warrilow staying? Will they go down more of a route of players that he's worked with before? It will just be interesting to see, but absolutely devastating for them. Shows money can't really buy you too much success if you look at it. And fair play, and Corinthian and Erith, who played each other in that cup final a couple of weeks ago, will meet again. It'll be an interesting time. I wouldn't have thought it'll be a game that you can probably call, but fair play to them. But Faversham will be absolutely distraught.
But they will, and you know, I mean, as I say, they beat Corinthian by 4-0 back in April, and you know that they look the real deal, and I know that obviously that was a really good win for them and a disappointing performance for Corinthians. So you've got to give absolute credit to Michael Golding and his Corinthian players. You know, there's some young lads out there. I think the goalkeeper is 18 years of age, you know, and he's put his neck on the line there, and he didn't save any of the penalties, but he had a good game. They cleared one off the line. They've really got stuck in there. And people will say you can never write Corinthian off. And that has just absolutely proved. They came from behind twice as well. They were 1-0 down, equalised, 2-1 down, equalised again. And they just did a job. And you know, they will go into that game. Yeah, they lost to Erith Town in that cup final on penalties a few weeks ago. And I remember saying to both managers, really, you might play again in the playoffs. I didn't expect for a second it would be in the final, but here we are. And it's all set up for, you know, a really interesting tie, because on Monday, we thought it would have been Faversham. You'd have had a massive crowd at Salters Lane, I'm sure, if they'd have got there. And it would have been a different contest, whereas you're going to see two teams who they've played some really entertaining games. I think the first game this season was 4-3 between them. The other one was 3-2. The teams that know each other. And obviously, Corinthian have come down from the Isthmian South East last season, but they've moved on from there. It's a completely different squad. Whereas either town, this is the best they've ever been, and this is an opportunity for them to make history. And so both of these teams have got so much riding on it on Monday, and I think it's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, I think it is as well. Corinthian, when we spoke to Michael Golding at the start of the season, he probably wouldn't have thought he'd got there, but he's managed to galvanise the squad. Erith as well. If they got a chance to get into the level above, yeah, should be a really fascinating game. Yeah, both sides probably wouldn't have thought they'd be in there, but they're going to make the most of it now.
And it does show the value of continuity as well, because obviously Glebe, Party Company were their managers, And Faversham did the same. And you know, I think everyone thought Tommy Waldo was a great appointment. And he's a lovely bloke, but he hasn't got the best record in the playoffs. So that would be a frustration. But also, I would say as well, Matt, I reckon there's a fair few clubs elsewhere in the scaffold thinking, oh. Yeah, do you know what I mean? I think they would have been thinking, well, if Faversham and obviously the reported budget that they've got were gone, then it would be a more level playing field there next season. But again, next season, and we'll talk about this in the summer, all the pressure is going to be on Faversham. And for whichever one of you, Town or Corinthian, gets promoted, it will be an absolutely fantastic achievement. And I'll be at that game on Monday, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how it plays out.
Yeah, I think I couldn't call that, John. So interesting to see who does it. But they've both been a credit to the division this year. So very hard to call from there. But Corinthian will got that confidence of getting the result. As both sides, we didn't expect them to get through, but they've done marvellously well. Should be interesting.
Absolutely. But with Town, of course, have won those two cup finals. So they'll be confident in a one-off game on the final day of the season on Saturday. Beersted beat Fisher 2-0. Champions Deal rounded off their memorable campaign with a 3-0 win over Stansfield in front of 1,598 supporters. Glee beat Rustle 2-0. It was Lordswood 2, Homesdale 2. Faversham won 2-0 at Punjab. Holland and Blair, 3-2 winners at Sutton Athletic. Kennington won 1-0 at Tunbridge Wells. And Bethel Gudoba hit a first-half hat-trick as VCD beat Lidtown 4-0. Snodden Town won 5-3 at relegated Wellington in what proved to be the final game in charge for Town boss Luke Walland. And Whitstable beat Corinthian by 2-0. Into the First Division, where the playoff final on Saturday will be between Larkfield and Newhyde and Staplehurst Monarchs. Larkfield made it through after winning an epic penalty shootout 13-12 against Lewisham Borough. And tonight, I've seen the other semi-final between Staplehurst and Rochester. Ended 1-0 to the home side. And after the game, I spoke to both managers, starting with the victorious boss, Staplehurst Monarchs, Paul Atkins.
Buzzing, to be fair, absolutely buzzing. Look, you know, I'd like to make a comment that stays with you guys is we're a village club. You know, we come into the club, me and my assistant, Wellesley, and they were a point or 2 points away from relegation, I think. First season was hard, 13th. And then we just knew what we needed this season to make them stronger and get into the playoffs. Our aim, as the chair lady would say, you know, it was playoffs. We've reached that goal. And I think if anyone looks down and sees, you know, Staplehurst, I'd probably say that we've been the underdogs all season, right? So team talk's all about underdogs. Always will be. We're the underdogs, every team we play. So, yeah, look, absolutely. Feel for the boys. They're a great bunch. Really, honestly, and I mean that, you know, at K-Sports it was hard, you know, and I was manager at Larkfield as well, and it's hard when you've got a group. Sometimes I don't gel, and those boys in there, the reason we are where we are is that we gel. They're good lads. So, yeah, buzzing for them. Buzzing for them more than anyone, really. So, yeah, good.
You say underdogs, even though you finished with Rochester in the league. Was that still your mantra tonight?
Team talk was underdogs. Always underdogs. You know, we at one point in stage in the season, we were chomping at the bit at Whiteleaf, right? And we were at them, and they were coming to watch us, so they were fearful of us. You know, we had nothing to lose. We knew what our aim was. Me and my assistant and my coaching staff knew our aim was to playoffs. So anything more than that, is a plus for the club. So, yeah, it's good. Yeah, really good.
Tight old game tonight as well. And really, the only clear chance of the night is well in the back of the net.
Yeah, you know, I think if you come down here last year, we overplayed football. We were very creative with the ball. We had a box four. No one knew what we were doing because we were defensively very, very vulnerable. So we've become ugly. We win games ugly. We got the best defensive win in the league. We got the best defensive in Skeffel. I think we're the fourth best in non-league football. We know what we're good at, you know. So what we see out there today is what we've created in that change room. You know, my coaching staff has made sure that we're ugly. You know, be ugly first. You always have the right to play football, right? And if you do the right things first, then you've got a chance of playing football.
And of course, having a goal scorer like Kane Smith always helps.
Yeah,
helps,
yeah. Well, you know, little Kano, he works for me, funny enough. So I kind of blackmailed him into playing for me. But no, he's coming to the right time. He's been playing 23 football because commitments are elsewhere, and we've brought him in the right time. To be fair, we've missed a strike all season. You know, if you look at our goal ratio, I think we've missed a striker all season. So, you know, he gets one chance, he scores, doesn't he? So, yeah, he's a plus and he's a good lad as well.
And now you move on to the final. You've mentioned already Lockfield. You know what you're going to be up against.
Yeah. We know them personally. We know the club well. I know the club. You know, I was a manager there once upon a time. Yeah, look, they do it well. You know, they've got a big budget. You know, they'll say they haven't, but we all know they have. Look, we've played them twice and we've lost twice. But when it really matters, it's about showing up on the day, isn't it? We all know it's a cup final. We all got to play a cup final attitude. And tonight you could see it was a cup final because it wasn't a lot of football. We've just got to get back in the trenches as quickly as possible, rest, recover, and all the stuff that comes with football, right?
Did you watch the game last night?
I didn't. No. I had a few lads. Funny enough, I had a few lads there at the game, and you know, it was like a rugby score in the end with the penalties, wasn't it? I don't think there was a keeper in goal, was there? But I had a few people there watching it, and they thought Lewisham was the better side. So fair play to Larkfield. You know, their aim was probably try to win it. But they're strong, aren't they? You know, they've got a lot of money invested. They're a big club in non-league football. So, Larkfield are, you know, a difficult teams, and we know how difficult they are. So.
The two clubs both came up together at the same time into the scaffold. They had a better start, I suppose, the first season they got to the playoffs.
Yeah.
But now you're going, and one of you's going to be in the scaffold Premier Division, and for either club, that'd be a great achievement.
Ah, it's a massive achievement. Even with the Rochester stance on it, you know, like we're all the same. You know, we've come up from lesser leagues. And we've all competed at this level now for what, probably three years, there's not a lot in it, you know. Like I say that every team talk, you know, this level is margins, always margins, right? Like it's just margins from top to bottom. We played bottom and lost, you know. It's kind of like that. So they're not a bad. I'm not going to say a good club, but they're competitive. So I think that's the right word. So yeah.
I suppose today was the biggest day that this club's ever had.
Ever had.
And you know, kind of lived up to it. And your players didn't freeze, so that's got
to
be good.
No, I told them to be relaxed, right? And it's difficult because inside I'm absolutely, you know, there's butterflies and all sorts. But I haven't told them that. Like I said before at the beginning of the conversation, they're the best team I've ever managed. Just because you look in their eyes and there's honesty, you know, there's honesty. And when you look at honesty in football or anything in business, if you get honesty, you know that what you're going to get and what they're going to give you every game. And that's what they've done every game. You know, the games that we've lost, we've looked at each other in the eyes and we've said, right, we've lost because why? We didn't work as hard or we didn't do this right. And they're all like, yep. So they take everything on board and they're growing as a team. So, yeah, look, fair play to them. They're a great bunch. So, yeah, happy with the bunch, you know.
We've seen how much tonight's meant to everybody. How much would it mean if you win on Saturday?
I don't think I'd come down. You know, I think I'd be... It means so much to the club. You know, I kind of get emotional about it because the club means a lot to me too. You know, K Sports and the club, I play for both. And we've given it a lot. You know, this season's been like, it hasn't been a long season because we've had not as many games, but it's felt like a long season, you know. It's honestly, because when you're up there, you've got to stay up there and be competitive every week and you can't switch off, you can't turn off. So it would mean the world to the club. You know, financially, we're not the... You know, you can tell, you know, we walk into the club, we're not glitter and gold. We haven't got the biggest, you know, budgets out there. And if there is a budget at the club, which there isn't, you know, it's minimal what we have at the club. So we've done what we've done with honest players. So, yeah, it's great. It's going to be great for the club. And the chair lady, she's an absolute treasure.
Just finally from me, from tonight, as a former K Sports manager, how was it on Saturday, their final game?
Yeah, it's hard. I actually played 20 minutes, I think. So, yeah, I come on as a bit of a... Look, you know, they played a lot of Sheppey boys, to be fair. We had six first-team Sheppey players. They had the captain and Danny Bradshaw and, you know, you had a few of them. And fair play to them because they wanted to survive and stay up. It would have broke my heart if they'd not stayed up. It was disappointing to see the way the clubs ended up. When I was manager, you could see it. You could see it was there. It was decay and you could see it was slowly rotting from inside. I've played there since I was APM days as a kid, you know. As an adult, I've managed. I've been chairman. I've been director of football. I've been everything. I've even been reserve manager. So I've been everything the club's ever had, and it meant a lot to me. So I'm glad this survived. And obviously, she's going over to Sheppey, and the Battens are going to take him over. And the Battens are great lads. You know, they love football. The dad's, you know, so invested in Sheppey. So look, yeah, sad to see the club go from there. But hopefully, they'll carry on, and you know. succeed, because they, like I said, just want that for every non-league football. It's important, right, for us all.
Sad to lose the K Sports name, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I was the one who called it. So yeah, it was the something to do with the most powerful letter in the alphabet. We called it the K, right? That was it. So that we went with them because we knew the branding of the facilities were going to be called K Sports. So I got a little bit slated on social media because there's hundreds and hundreds of years of APM, right? But we thought it was the best thing for the club at the time. And look, it was hard. You're pushing against the door that's closed at a club. They didn't invest, like, as in, we rented off them. You know, we always rented. It was rented. They never give anything back as a club. So, look, chapter's done. I wish them all the best as a new club, as Sheppey, whatever they're going to be called.
Sheppey Sports.
Sheppey Sports. Brilliant. Love it. So, look, sad to see it go from K Sports. Hopefully someone can fill that space. Let's soon see, right?
Well, we'll talk about K-Sports in a minute, Matt, but biggest night in Stapleton Monarchs history there tonight. Literally about 5 minutes walk down the road from where I'm currently sat. A decent crowd was in. They weren't overawed. They lived up to the billing. It wasn't a classic game by any stretch of the imagination. I'd say that the best chance of the game was the goal, which was put away by Kane Smith, a header from close range. But Stapleton Monarchs have done fantastically well. And as you said there, Matt, this is a village football team who are on the brink of getting into the Scheffel Premier, and that is an astonishing achievement.
Absolutely amazing achievement from what they've done. Where is Staplehurst, John? That's my first question.
I was hoping you were going to give me a guess.
It's not near Tunbridge, is it?
I'd say I'm near Maidstone. It's sort of east of Marden, Paddock Wood, right. Tunbridge. So you can get the train to Tunbridge from here, but probably a few miles down the road I'd end up in Maidstone quite easily. I'm not far from Cranbrook, that's the way I've come up today, so sort of in that sort of pocket, but I would probably say go to Maidstone. So and people have come out tonight to watch that village football team and they've been rewarded.
Absolutely. I don't know much about them, but Staplehurst Monarchs is a lovely sounding football club. I tell you, it's a tiny little ground, people passionate about their club, and now they're one game away of playing the likes of Faversham and Whitstable, which with excellent crowds. So, yeah, fantastic achievement for them. What was the ground like, John?
Pretty basic. I mean, literally, you walk in through the turnstile and you're there. There's a couple of little covered seating areas. And then a bar behind the goal and a sort of area around there. But it was, you know, it was a nice place to watch a game of football. The one end, you can't actually access as a supporter, and the balls just go in the trees and people go and retrieve them. But yeah, nice place to watch a game of football. I've enjoyed my evening. And, you know, fair play to them. And as I said to him there, both Larkfield and New Hythe and Staplehurst were both moved into this league. They weren't really promoted. They were both moved into the league. At the same time, 3 years ago after COVID, Larkfield obviously got to the playoff final a couple of years ago. So they had different paths. But what Staplehurst have done here is they've built a strong team. And Paul Atkins, who used to be the manager of K-Sports, as you've heard him say there, but he has built a team who he thinks are great. And he said, they're the best team that's ever played for me, and I can trust them. And I look into their eyes and I see what they're understanding. But then he also says in the same breath, you know, every game we go into as underdogs, and I actually think that underdog spirit has helped them out.
I should have done more homework on these. They weren't expected to do as well as they've done this season, but they managed just to carry on just winning football matches, just building up the momentum, I presume. And again, the passion of the manager comes through, which he shows, surely delivers back onto the players.
Absolutely. And I think that's the key thing is no, I don't think at the start of the season many of us would have looked and said Staplehurst Monarchs are playoff contenders. Well, now they're in the final. I think AFC Whiteleaf, everyone expected them to be up there. Larkfield, everyone expected them to be up there. Rochester, we'll hear from shortly, will probably a team you think will be up there. Canterbury as well, maybe. But Staplehurst have just kept on winning games of football, got themselves into a position. And as I say, it wasn't a classic tonight, but hard to beat. And a manager who's admitted there that they like to make the game ugly, well, they achieved that aim tonight, shall we say, with a strong defensive record. And that's what gets you going. And players chucked themselves in the way of the ball. The keeper made a couple of all right saves. And they coped well with a Rochester side. You've got a giant striker up top in Fjord Rogers, who's scored a lot of goals this season. But they managed him really well. And they managed the game really well. And you know, great celebrations from the players at the end and the supporters, and they'll go into Saturday and they'll think you've got absolutely nothing to lose.
Oh, absolutely. Again, that confidence you get from winning that match, the buzz you'll get about it, 90 minutes away from going up to the next level. Yeah, we're absolutely delighted for them. And again, probably shows the quality of that level of players can do it. Again, we've seen player teams that have come up from that Scheffel 1 into the Scheffel Premier do quite well. So interesting to see how they go from there. But yeah, fair play to both clubs.
While there was a winner, of course, tonight, there was also a loser. And I also spoke to the Rochester manager slash, as you'll hear, owner, chairman, everything, basically, Matt Humes. Here he is.
It's really hard to take. It'd be for both for any team that loses. You spend all year getting to this point. You know, I really fancied ourselves tonight. I don't think we raised the occasion tonight. I didn't think we played very well, and I think Staplers deserved to win.
As a tough one, wasn't it? Because I think you were quite evenly matched sides, and it was literally probably the best chance of the game, and they tucked it away.
Yeah, and I think what they did well tonight, they played in a certain way, and I think we ended up playing the same way that suited them instead of playing the way we should have been playing. But that's all credit to them. I thought we looked very one-dimensional. I didn't think we had, and we've got an awful lot more about us usually, and I was disappointed with that we didn't have a plan B and a plan C on the pitch, which we've done quite well all season. But you know, it is what it is. I'm really disappointed. I really wanted to go up this year, and you know, it's harsh when it comes down to one game.
I suppose you look at your senior players there and think, you know, we've got to find a way of, if the normal way is not working, find a way of winning.
Yes, and you know, I could tell 10 minutes into the second half I felt it was going the same way as it did in the first half, where we was resorting to the same sort of playing, the way we was playing, and I think I wanted to change early. I had good players on the bench. I think it had a little impact, but not really the impact I was looking for. I don't think it lasted for too long.
It's amazing, isn't it? Like this time last week, you were all ready for this, and now it's all over. I guess that's the harsh reality of the playoffs.
Yeah, they're great because I think, you know, throughout the season, you know, in the old days when you had just two going up, halfway through the season or two thirds, it's nearly all over for a lot of teams. It keeps everyone going. It keeps the excitement going. Just disappointing because I know we're a good side, and you know, I've just said to the boys, you look at the season overall, we started really well, we was firing all season, we had a really bad spell of injuries, we got over that, which I was really chuffed about. And I think what's disappointing for me is I felt like we'd got a lot of good players back, and today we just didn't perform. So
over the course of the season, I guess if someone had offered you playoff semi-finals at the start, would you have taken that, or are you frustrated?
With the money, I think that was all, you know, with the money that's in these leagues now, you know, we knew Whiteleaf were paying a lot of money, we knew Larkfield were. We started with a reasonable budget, but I had to cut that at Christmas through, you know, probably well-known factors that most people know about. We keep, you know, what's great about our team, we have a bunch of players there that have been at the club a long time, they love the club, so that stuck with us. But it's a long season. When you get to the end of it like that, you're really gutted that, you know, it's down to one game. But, you know, that's the name of it, and, you know, it's all over now, so we've just got to go again. I just said to them, when you lose, you've got to, you know, when things, you know, it's the same in anything in life. When you get obstacles in the way, it's the character now. We've got to get up, go again. At the beginning of the year, we said playoffs and then win them. We knew we was capable of it, and we've done really what was expected of us.
I suppose it's a tough league, isn't it, the Scheffel First Division? Because, as you say, there's money in the division.
It's all got tougher. I mean, I think, obviously, the league above, when we was there a few years back now, and that's got even tougher. The money that's floating about is ridiculous somehow. And that's why I love the bunch of players. And I said I'm all proud of them because, you know, they're not players that jump ship. You know, unless I'm massively mistaken, I expect most of them to return next year. They love the club. And I think, you know, that's how we've got to compete. We've got to have people there that want to die for the cause. And tonight, one thing I couldn't criticise them for when I said it, they gave 100%, they gave everything they got, it just wasn't good enough.
Well, I suppose area-wise, you know, where you are in Medway, there's a lot of teams competing at a level above and above. So having that togetherness and knowing that you've got a good bunch of lads who are going to turn out for you is a massive tick for you.
Yeah, and we have to keep that at the moment. We're not a club that can go throwing money about and get players in. I don't think that always works anyway. And, you know, I think when I'd done well previously, which was 10, 12 years ago, you know, we had a great season that year. We beat Ashford and we beat Phoenix and we beat Hollands and Blair that year and Beersted to win it. And we had next to no money. But it wasn't that season that we won it. It was the build-up of 3 or 4 years before that. Most people don't see that work that goes into gradually build the side, and then all of a sudden it clicks, and that's usually 2-3 years of work. And I think this is our set. You know, I've been back 2 years. It's a second year in. I think, you know, as disappointed as we are, let's come back stronger next year. It might, you know, if we learn our lessons from this year, hopefully it will stand us in good stead.
So my next question was going to be, what do you do now and how do you bounce back? Obviously, you think you've got the grounding in place to go one better next season.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we can only get stronger. You get stronger from things like this. One thing you do when you lose games and you lose anything in life, you learn from, and you don't learn for anything from winning most of the time or success. You do learn a lot from your losses, and we've learned a lot today. We've learned a lot. We know our frailties, and you know we've got to improve them next year. I know that that's going to make us stronger.
And what is it now? Just forget about football for a couple of weeks, or is it never stop?
Probably not. It'll never stop. This is when it all starts. You know, obviously, I am chairman and owner as well, so there's a lot of stuff going off the pitch. We've got youth sections and stuff like that. I guess I love it. So it won't stop. It'll carry on now. And, you know, my job's to get their heads up. And, you know, it's been a pleasure working with them. And I think, you know... This is semi-professional football, but fundamentally we're all here to enjoy ourselves, and as long as they give me everything they've got, that's all I can expect.
Well, he was disappointed, but I think he tried to find some positives, and again Rochester will be looking to push on next season.
Again, you've just got to enjoy the season that you've actually had in this situation. Heartbreak, but getting into the playoffs, maybe you didn't expect it. You just got to take the positives from this season. Again, the manager was again another good interview, and I know it's only 5 minutes or so since after the game. Emotions are high, but he put everything on the line, and they'll look to go from there and where they can go, hopefully go again next season. Again, teams may look at some of their players and move them on, but they've done really well to get there, and I'm sure they'll try and go again next season in another division that will be very very competitive.
But I mean, from a Rochester point of view, Matt, I think what was interesting there was he said that about enjoying himself and his players enjoying it. And I think that's a massive thing for him, because when you're that level of football and you're that involved in the club, you've got to take some enjoyment out of it all. And by the sounds of it, he very much does that still.
Yeah, again, if you play at this manager at this level, you've got to take the rough with the smooth and enjoy. You're not going to do it for the money. You're going to do it for the love of the game and love of the team and trying to develop players. So I think that's a good thing to come out of this. Is that, you know, your love of the game. Rochester will look to develop players and try and get up the pyramid. So just, I think you can't be disappointed if you're losing the playoffs the way they have this season, just coming in. Just a little bit disappointing, really.
As I said to him there, it is a crowded area, isn't it? You've got your Lordswoods and your Hollands and Blair and obviously Chatham, who've won tonight in their playoff semi-final as well. So it is a tough area to try and be a football team. And as I said to him there, you want that niche. And if you've got a group of players who all want to play for you and all want to wear the shirt and enjoy playing with each other, that's half the battle.
Yeah, I think a lot of team players at this level probably are friends who've grown up together, wanting to enjoy, play with your mates and be successful. So I think, again, it's a good level of football. Don't be too disappointed if you haven't gone up this season, but you can grow and go again next year.
Yeah, and I think with AFC Whiteleaf having gone and obviously question marks over Welling Town coming down, the division is going to be wide open again next season. So there's no reason why Rochester can't push on, is there?
Absolutely not. No, again, I don't know what the teams are coming up and how strong it will be next season, but I'm sure that it can. It will be again. All you've got to do is, you know how difficult the league can be. Just work together as you can do.
Absolutely. The regular season ended in style for the champions AFC Whiteleaf as they beat Greenways 8-3. Brighton Ropes beat Forest Hill Park 1-0. Canterbury City finished with a 2-1 win over Croydon. FC Elmstead won 4-2 at Faversham Strikeforce, with Elmstead boss Peter Nolan standing down after that win. It was 1-1 in K-Sport's final game before they moved to Sheppey against Staplehurst, while SC Thamesmead beat Rochester 2-0 and Tooting Beck beat Meridian VP 4-1. And I did say we'd bring up the K-Sports thing again, Matt. Paul Atkins spoke really well about that, I thought, actually. And you could see he was a little bit choked up about it. And, you know, the effort that people have put into running that club, but then the difficulties that they found. And, you know, he said, we went with K-Sports because that was what we knew the place was going to be called. But there was never actually any sort of link between the two, which I never really realised. I always thought that the facility and the club went hand in hand, but actually completely different entity. And already the season finished on Saturday and the K-Sports Twitter account is no more. It's now at Sheppey Sports, still saying they were founded in 1919. And as you said there, you know, the club possibly couldn't carry on in the guise it was in. And therefore, maybe the move to Sheppey will be for the best, and the Battens will obviously run the club well as they do with Sheppey United. But it's sad that the K-Sports name doesn't exist anymore.
Well, yeah, I think K-Sports is an arena, is known as a sporting arena, wasn't it? And a club that played there. So, yeah, disappointed how that's gone. Sheppey Sports will maybe, Sheppey will get the benefits of that, but unfortunately, these things happen in football. If you haven't really got a base or you keep moving around, that club will want to try and take that mantle and the identity with them.
Absolutely. Into the Isthmian League Premier Division, as I've just mentioned, Chatham have done it the hard way, but they are into the playoff final. They've beaten Horsham 4-3 on penalties after a 1-1 draw at the Balboa Stadium tonight. They will play Enfield Town, who they played last Saturday, in the final on Monday. They've not been in sparkling form of late, have they, the Chats? But they've got the job done tonight. And if they can do the job again on Monday, all of their dreams have come true.
Yeah, back-to-back-to-back promotions. 3,000 people there tonight, cheering them on, winning the penalty shootout. Home advantage could be absolutely crucial against Enfield. Clearly, they're the second and third best team in that division, which is... when you look at everybody else, that hasn't seemed to happen. So I think that should be a big factor for Chatham at home. I think they, you know, the crowds they're getting, it's a good opportunity next season for them. It's a massive opportunity to try and get promoted. So Enfield, to me, are a big non-league club. So that should be a really good game from there. I say the form hasn't been great, but you just fancy that it will, you know, the experience, Kevin Hake, you know, He'll be making sure that they've got, you know, turning every chance, get the crowd behind them. What a good afternoon that will be on Monday afternoon. So, yeah, fingers crossed. We've lost a couple of teams to the Conference South. Let's hope Chatham can replace them.
Absolutely. Well, Chatham, for the last six games, Matt, they've only got 8 points, which actually puts them below Margate in the form table. It was 2-2 on Saturday in that game at Enfield. They've had a sight of each other, and now they know what they're going to be expecting. And you know, Enfield, a big famous name in non-league football. Chatham, new upstarts, I suppose, to many people outside of the county. It's all set up for, it should be an absolute cracker. And I'm sure there'll be another bumper crowd there on Monday afternoon.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure all ticket. A lot of people will be looking to try and get tickets into that game. But yeah, I would have thought it'd be a cracking atmosphere. And well, again, two big clubs. Let's hope Chatham, who've really gone in the right direction, haven't they, the last few seasons, can be rewarded with a place in the National South.
Absolutely, and massive good luck to them. On Monday, at the other end of the table, there was no miracle for Margate as they lost 5-3 at Billericay. And with Chesson drawing at hashtag, it was a 4-point gap, which saw the gate relegated in the end. And the club announced pretty quickly that manager Mark Stimson was leaving in the wake of that defeat in Essex. Didn't work out for him, and now someone else gets the chance to take charge at Hartsdown Park and hopefully try to bring some smiles back to the faces of their long-suffering supporters. And we've spoken a lot about Margate. All just say again is we're sad that they've gone down. Cray Wanderers finished a disappointing season in some style with a 6-2 win at Dulwich Hamlet, while Folkestone lost 4-0 at Bognor Regis. They did finish 16th, ahead of Wanderers by a goal. Both those sides probably, Matt, hoping for better next season.
Yeah, I think so. I think Cray should be moving into the new stadium. I think there'll be a side who should be going in, having a better season. I think Neil Smith will learn from that. Got a good base of a squad. And Folkestone as well, I think maybe spending a little bit of money in the summer as well. So I think should be, I'm hoping that all of our Kent sides in this division next season, including my own, will be at least in the top 10 and maybe looking for the promotion playoffs. I expect Dartford will be massive favourites to win that division.
Yeah, on Dartford as well, Matt, their retained list out this week. And at the very bottom of that retained list, they did mention that Aidy Pennock is the man that they're going to be taking forward. So I suppose that's a positive that we know what the state of play is. What sort of budget they've got next season could be up in the air. I noticed Luke Coulson was among the players to have left. But they will be one of the teams that will be there thereabouts, surely.
Yeah, I'll be amazed if they're not in the top. Well, again, I probably said I'll be amazed at the start of this season if they weren't in the playoffs. So you would have thought Aidy Pennock, if he gets it right, uses the connections, gets the right balance of the squad in, they should be at the right end. It'd be interesting to see where Luke Coulson goes, to be honest. I would have thought that a lot of clubs, particularly the National South, would be looking at him. So maybe even Chatham if they get promoted, because he's a good player. So, yeah. Again, early, I would put them down as maybe early season favourites to win that division next year.
Yeah, let's go up to the National League now, where Bromley are a game away from not being on this show next season after coming from behind to beat Altrincham 3-1 on Sunday. They will face Solihull Moors at Wembley this weekend. They played twice in a week last month. They lost in the FA Trophy, but then beat them in the league. A side will make their Football League debut next season, Matt, which is very exciting. And there's absolutely no reason why it won't be Bromley, is there?
No. Again, I think Solihull lost a couple of years ago, didn't they? So they probably think it's their time to go up. Bromley, what a job Andy Woodman's done. Coming from behind as well at the weekend. Miles Weston, lovely, lovely player, even at the age of, 36, 37.
Have you seen the goal? The third goal was absolutely stunning. The first two goals were horrible, but the third goal was absolutely stunning.
Well, he's a good player, Weston, isn't it? And that shows that Andy Woodman brought him in from Dagenham, didn't he? And just a shrewd little bit of business. He's got some good players there. You know, Young, then he got Louis, you know, Crowhouse, Louis Dennis, that can play those positions. But Miles Weston, you know what he's going to do, but he's very good at doing it, and teams can't stop it. So for Bromley, they are a benchmark of a club in how it grows. When they got promoted probably 9 years ago into the National League, they were probably getting 1,000. Now they're averaging nearly 3,000. The grounds are complete difference to that situation. They have been run magnificently off the pitch. And they're going to be all, I think they're taking 10,000 fans plus on Saturday, on Sunday, or whatever the game is, Sunday. I think they hope they do it, because what an unbelievable achievement. And once you get in that position, there's no reason why they can't be a Football League club for a while, because the support base is clearly there. I'll probably have to rip up the 3G, but you'll take that to be a Football League club. But if you'd have probably said 10, 12 years ago that Bromley could be a Football League club, people would laugh at you. But we always knew they had a good side, good squad, being in the top three or four, haven't they, basically all season since about September. So
I think what they've done really well, actually, Bromley as a club, is they've done it gradually. You know, they haven't gone up to the, you know, when they got promoted up to the National League, they didn't just go straight away and go hell for leather. They consolidated. And then, you know, at the time, we looked at it and we thought, you know, getting rid of Neil Smith as they did seemed like a really brutal decision. But actually, Andy Woodman's come in and he's taken them to another level. And, you know, full credit to him, full credit to the owner, who's shown a lot of ambition in that football club. But they've done it the right way. You know, they've not just tried to buy their way through it. Yeah, they've obviously brought in some quality players as they've gone along that possibly haven't come cheap. But they've done it the right way. They've built that club up. They've made that club the hub of its community. And it will be sad if they do have to rip up the 3G pitch, because it has been a big part of their model. But they won't care. I'm sure the chairman will be there ripping it up with everybody else if they've got into the Football League. And, you know, it will be a massive game for them on Sunday. I'll be tuning in. Unfortunately, I'm working, so I won't be able to actually go. But I'll be definitely be tuning in and I'll be cheering on the Ravens. And as we always say, Matt, I'm sure Dave Roberts will be looking down with a massive grin on his face this weekend.
Yeah, good old Dave, wouldn't it? Well, his books about Bromley are absolutely legendary, and we'll be lucky to speak to him on this show and on the radio show. What a nice guy he was. Yeah, he'll be shining down. I think it's Bromley's time. Again, this is maybe harsh. Bromley will bring more to the Football League than what Solihull Moors would do in terms of quality, support, and I think they'd embrace it. So and people like Mash, who we've had on the show, you must be in dream world from where they are and where they've come. I think I remember seeing them get promoted from the Isthmian South East a few years ago, Bromley. So definitely were when they got promoted from the Isthmian Premier. So, yeah, fair play to them. And, yeah, let's hope it works. Again, the playoffs, apart from Chatham, so far they got to the final. Hasn't been great for our Kent side. It would be fantastic. Sad to say goodbye to Bromley if they're not going to be on this show after next week. But, yeah, I hope it works out for them, because it's an opportunity you can't pass up. And as a Bromley fan, third trip to Wembley in 6 years, I just like it once, mate. There you go.
Yeah, massive good luck to Bromley. Now, while Bromley don't want to be in the National League next season, to have survived in it was a great moment for Ebbsfleet United. They stayed up following that final day 0-0 draw at Boreham Wood. And at the back end of last week, I was delighted to speak to the Fleet boss, Danny Searle. And I started by asking him if he always felt confident of survival.
Yeah, I think when I took the job, I had full confidence in the squad that we would keep him in the league, despite outside sort of influences and outside opinions regards to that. When I took the job, the general consensus was that plan for the South, because there's no way that you're going to manage to keep this side up. So, but from the day one of working with the lads, I kind of knew that there's enough quality within the group. The big deciding factor was whether they'd buy into what we're trying to do and how quickly they would do that to enable us to put some results together. So, but once I kind of was in the building, I had no doubt that we would end up getting the job done. Did I think that it would go to the last game of the season? Probably not. I think we were probably value for getting it sorted before then. But you know what? We had a fantastic day, and the euphoria of the day made it kind of worthwhile.
What was there a lot to do when you came in? Because it always looked to us from the sort of outside that there was a lot of potential in this Ebbsfleet United squad. Was it just a case of just looking at things slightly differently than they'd been done before?
Yeah, I think there needed to be some modifications, definitely. We needed to put some different emphasis on our style of play and the philosophy that we want to implement. I didn't want to take them too much off of what they were already doing, because I think it's dangerous to throw a grenade in and blow the whole thing up completely. But from our perspective, there was definitely elements that needed improving. The culture around the place, the intensity of the work ethic around the place needed to be better from my perspective, and the belief as well in their own abilities as individuals as well as a collective, with that we need to improve that confidence. And so we took the leash off, to be honest, and let them go and express themselves, which is one of the biggest things we did.
And he came in and he made a great start, and I guess that was really important. We talk about a new manager bounce, and he certainly had that, didn't you?
Yeah, and I think they sustained it for longer than that. We lost 3 games in 15 matches, and when you put that contextually into a season, that's a good return. That's playoff form, and I'm not stupid or naive enough to think that just automatically means that's what we're going to do next season. From my perspective, we need to build a squad that's capable of sustaining a solid National League platform, and then once we've done that, we can then build on looking at trying to get this club into where they want to be, which is they want to be in with a shout of getting promoted.
You obviously know the National League pretty well. Is it as tough as it's ever been, this league?
100%. I think even since I last worked in here, I've been fortunate enough to have a few jobs abroad since my last sort of stint in the National League. And the level of resources, the level of coaches, the level of players, even if you look at the level of support with regards to the average attendances, it's improved across the board, and that's a credit to all the people involved and the clubs involved, because it's a very, I'd argue, probably one of the most competitive leagues in the country with regards to there's only one promotion spot. You're looking at a lot of resources clubs are putting towards it, and even when I came in, you're talking about sometimes a 5 or 6 points difference between jumping 13, 14 places in the league. I just think it shows how competitive it's got.
How much did you gain from your experiences in Europe?
Oh, massive amounts. I'm a big believer in... I managed all the shot. The first 2 seasons, we achieved what we set out to achieve. Our remit was to stay in the league based on the budget that we had at the time and what we had at our disposal. The second season, I think we got some things wrong from a recruitment perspective, and But you have to go away and you have to look at yourself in the mirror and you have to kind of assess where you played your part in that. And then you have to go and develop and you have to be willing to go and put the work in to improve that. And being in the different countries that I've worked in with the different styles, the cultures, the environments, yeah, that's massive, massive part of my development. And I'll continue to develop because I'm sure there'll be another passage in my career where I've got to go and look at myself and think, right, where do I need to be better? And it's down to me to go and make sure that works as well.
Obviously, this season's now done. You've announced the retain list this afternoon. And the fact that there's quite a few players, six under contract, 12 more you're speaking to. So that shows it's only little tweaks that you need to make at Ebbsfleet for next season.
Yes and no. I think we need to make sure that the boys that we're speaking to, just because we're talking to them doesn't mean that definitely means they're going to stay in the building. I think there's conversations to be had and they weren't in a position where we thought actually they're not going to be a valuable member of our squad for next season. It's more a case of are they going to buy into what we're trying to do alongside the players we're trying to recruit for next year. So there will definitely be changes. And I think from our perspective, we need to develop a squad that's smaller and one that actually, regardless of who's available, we know what we're going to get from every person in the building.
So it's a case of quality over quantity then?
100%. 100%. We need to make sure that we're getting, if you're looking from a pound per point perspective, we're getting value from the players that we've brought in. We've got players that have got the pedigree to step on as well. We don't want players that are content with National League football. We want players that want to get better and they want players that want to improve their careers as well. And most importantly, we want the characters in the building that are willing to bring everyone else along on that ride. And if we can get that kind of environment, I'm confident we can be a secure, solid team next season in the league.
I think that's the key thing, is it, next year to be secure and solid and not be looking over your shoulder and then push on, because the potential at Ebbsfleet is huge, isn't it?
Yeah, there's people that spoke to me already and said, oh, surely you've got to be thinking about playoffs for next season. And I'm like, well, hold on a minute. I don't know many clubs that nearly get relegated one season and then get promoted the next. I don't think it generally works like that. It's about making those improvements to make sure that we, exactly what you just said, we're not playing a cup final in the last game of the season for our survival in the league. We want to make sure we take care of business as early as possible. And what happens post that, well, we'll find out in due course. But the bottom line is we want to establish ourselves as one of the teams that people don't even consider to be a relegation side.
And I know you're off on your holidays now. Is there any sort of break, or is it still going to be by the pool? You'll be still phoning players and speaking to players, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly that. Unfortunately, we've got a couple of trips I've got with the family, and I'll value my time with them and try and get as much time as I want with them to relax and recuperate. But you're never really off the clock, because if the agent of that player you really want phones while you're away, you're not going to not take the call. You're going to take that call and you're going to try and get a deal done. That's the beauty of one of the biggest things to come out of COVID was the amount of stuff that gets done on Zoom now. And it doesn't matter where you are in the world, you can get business done. So it's a non-stop 24/7 thing for us, and the staff are fully aware of what my expectations are on that, and the club know that we can't put ourselves in the situation where we were in last season. And if we do ever find ourselves in that situation, it's not because we haven't done our jobs properly.
I enjoyed that one, Matt. And I'm sure his and everyone else at the club's mood has got even better this week with the approval of their new 8,000-seater stadium by Gravesham Borough Council. All in all, it's been a decent fortnight for Ebbsfleet, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I saw the ground developing the area. I think maybe this may be the last season coming up at Stonebridge Road if they move out for that as well. Yeah, a club going in the right direction. Clearly, they're in a base of where there's a lot of new houses going up, so they can attract supporters. They're in a good position, not too far from London, so they can attract players. And Daddy, so a sensible interview there. Again, interesting, what opposite of what we said last week. We thought maybe the National League's not going to be as strong as next season, and maybe you can push for the playoffs. But he said, oh, we're not going to start running before we can walk. We've got to establish themselves as a National League side club for years to come. And I think they're in a position that, with the ground as well, they can achieve that. And there's no reason in a few years' time, they could be knocking on the league, Football League door if they get it right with the ground, if they get it right with the community. So, yeah, I think he's done a good job there, Danny. So I think he said only 3 defeats in 15. Dennis Katrieb did a really good job. But I think they made the right decision at the right time. And it'll be interesting to see who Danny Searle brings in now. As a player, they've still got quite a big squad still, but I'm sure he'll be tinkering with it and improving it for next season. But yeah, I think from an Ebbsfleet point of view, as a supporter, you must be delighted where your club's going.
Yeah, I thought that was a good interview, actually. I thought he spoke very well. He obviously knows how to play the game. He's been around for a while. But a couple of things worth pointing out there as well that I thought were quite prevalent was he said, you know, I needed to, when I came in, just needed to sort out the basics, sort out the fitness and things like that. And maybe it was just a case that it was all the elements were there, but it just wasn't working. And then the other point as well was the retainers had come out literally about 20 minutes before I spoke to him. And he said, well, yeah, just because we're talking to these players, though, doesn't mean they're staying. And he's obviously got ambitions and he knows what he's going to do. And he's played down expectations there, which I think is a wholly sensible thing to do. Because FC United should be looking at the Bromley model and saying, actually, do you know what? Let's build, let's consolidate, and then look to push on. And do you know what? From that interview, Matt, I think they've got a very good man in charge.
Yeah, I think so as well. Yeah, and I think his first, when he was at Aldershot, maybe it was a little bit difficult for him. It's his first real job. They were going through some problems as a club. But I think he's, you know, clearly a very good coach. And as a grown as he has done in working in other clubs and abroad in Ireland, and I think he went to Czechoslovakia as well. So yeah, I think they've got a good appointment there. Who him and Udwin as well, we know as his assistant. I think Ebbsfleet can look forward to next season with added vigour. I think maybe even more than they did this season. Really, I think they've got a good base. I think they're going to be okay in a league which you mentioned may not be the strongest as it has been over the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely. That just seems with the National League South and the end of an amazing season for Maidstone. They're beaten 2-1 at Worthing in the playoff semi-final on Sunday. They missed a great chance at 1-1 before Ollie Pearce grabbed a late winner to send the Sussex side through. But credit, Matt, to Maidstone for an outstanding campaign.
Yeah, unbelievable campaign. The FA Cup run, the galvanisation of the squad by George Ellacobe, getting the fans back on board after last season. I don't think they can. Spoke to a Maidstone fan and he was disappointed, but not too disappointed. But again, I would have thought next season, if they utilise the money they've had in the cup, that they should again be favourites maybe to go up next season. George Ellacobe, interesting to see what his retain list will be, who he keeps, who he moves on. But I think that they will be able to attract, due to the cup run and the George Ellacobe effect, good players who can do well for them next year. I think they will be a side that should be challenging for the title next season.
Yeah, they'll be among the favourites. I mean, obviously, we've got Dorking and Boreham Wood coming down. We'll both fancy their chances, but I'm sure Maidstone will grow so much in this season. And Ellacobe, you know, he's just incredible. So I'm sure they'll be looking to go in the right direction. I don't know if you've seen today the news from the National League, Matt, as well. Some changes. You'll be allowed to use 5 substitutes out of 7 in the games. But another change that they've announced is rather than pairing the games for Christmas and for Boxing Day and New Year's Day, they're now going to pair Boxing Day and Good Friday and then New Year's Day and Easter Monday, which after Dover playing Averley over Christmas last year, that would have been really handy, mate. Not that it's going to affect you this year. I think you'll be playing Folkestone.
Yeah, I think that makes a wise decision. I don't know whoever decided that, but yeah, that seems a good decision. 7 subs may be interesting if any other clubs will actually keep with that. I don't really know, to be honest, some of the clubs fill 7 players, but because, you know, we haven't got enough in the squads to do that. But yeah, it makes sense. I think they're trying to make themselves more professional, which is a long way from what they actually are.
Absolutely. And this new cup competition they're having with the under 21 teams from the Premier League. Very bizarre as well. I mean, I really don't think they're helping themselves in any way, shape or form. Maybe they're getting some cash from it. As you may be able to hear, I am now driving. I'm on hands-free, everybody. Do not worry. I am safe and sound, but I've got a long drive home, so I thought I'd get on the road. Matt Gerrard, for the penultimate time this year, what else is on your agenda this week?
Not a lot. Well, I've got the bigger party for my mother-in-law's 70th, and that's about it. And enjoying the bank holiday weekend, John, and looking at my phone of how all the sides will do at the weekend. Good luck to all the Kent sides to see what they can do. And hopefully we'll be celebrating next week, which will probably be the final show where we'll do a review of the season, I suppose, and look at it. And if anybody, any of our listeners there wants to nominate their player of the season, please let us know via social media, John, if you give the words out.
Actually, I'll do that in a moment. I will just say, just so everybody can mark their cards as well, those finals of the playoffs on Saturday is the Scaffold First Division, Larkfield and New Hyde against Staples Monarchs, which will be played at Larkfield. And then on Sunday, Bromley against Solihull Moors at Wembley. Monday afternoon, it's Chatham against Enfield at the Bovril Stadium. And in the Scaffold Premier Division, it will be Erith Town against Corinthian at Bayliss Avenue, the former home of Thamesmead Town. That will, both of those games set to be absolutely incredible. And as we say, hopefully the two Kent teams will both make it up, while in the others, let's just say, may the best team win. Really, really looking forward to it. As I say, it's been an amazing week, an amazing season. We've really, really enjoyed it. And we're glad that you've been with us every single step of the way. You can find us on Twitter at Kent NL Podcast. You can find us on Facebook. Search for Kent Non-League Podcast and the group Kent Non-League Football Chat. Please get involved with your thoughts on the playoffs as well, because that's been a big topic of debate today. We're also on Threads and Instagram at Kent Non-League Podcast. I'm at JohnPhipps81. Matt is at Matthew_Gerrard. I'm going to drive back home. Thank you, everybody, for listening this week. Thanks to our interviewees for their time. As we say, massive good luck to all of our teams in the playoff finals this weekend. And we'll let you know how they all got on when we speak to you next week on the Kent Non-League Podcast.
One last push, fellas, to get promoted. Good luck to all our sides next week.